Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you out there in that listening audience. I'm going to be talking about the Holy Spirit when it was poured out at the day of Pentecost. And if you were with us last week and heard the message about Jesus preparing the disciples, he was prepping them for the day when he would be leaving and the day when they would receive the power of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit in their life. And so we are now at the point where the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out, and it came on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after he was resurrected, 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He spent 40 days on this earth, appearing to many people, over 500 in many different appearances, 10 or 11 different appearances. And so he had been in contact with the disciples, and he told them to wait in Jerusalem for what the Father had promised to them, to wait in Jerusalem for the promise. And the promise was that the Holy Spirit would be given to them in full measure, that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on them in full measure. And those very same disciples, those very same apostles who had been with Jesus when he was crucified, they were scattered, they were cowards, they were meek, they were mild, they had nothing to preach. And after the Holy Spirit was poured out on them, they became fire-breathing gospel preachers, and they spread the word not only in Jerusalem, but just as he told them they would spread the word in Jerusalem, and then in Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. And so the prophecies that were given regarding the Holy Spirit and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, first of all, I want to bring to you Joel 2:28, but it starts in 2:25. That prophecy said, "And the Spirit will be poured out on all mankind." And in Acts 2:17, it says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servants and my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy, and I shall show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Well, Peter got up and he explained, after the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the apostles on the day of Pentecost, he explained to the people that what had just occurred, what he had just seen happen, what they had just seen happen, was a fulfillment of the Joel prophecy in Joel 2:28. And Peter then repeated it, what I just read to you, he repeated it, and then the people started to understand that God had prophesied this through the prophet Joel, that the prediction was made that this was going to come, and then it was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus was resurrected. Well, there's a couple of other prophecies I want to point out to you. First of all, in Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist prophesied this. He said to the Pharisees who had come out to see him, he said, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And so John was talking, of course, about Jesus Christ, who came after John. John was the forerunner of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And he said, "The one who is coming after me, I'm not worthy to untie his sandals, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And then in Acts 1, verse 5, Jesus speaking to the disciples right before he ascended to sit at the right hand of God, he said, "For John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And then in Acts 1:8, Jesus continued to teach and speak to the disciples, and he said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth or to the end of the earth. And so Jesus was telling them this is coming, that the Holy Spirit is coming, and it is going to be a fulfillment of prophecy, but also it is going to prepare you to be a witness of me. It is going to prepare you to be able to go out into all the earth and witness to who I am, and witness to the gospel, and witness to the salvation, the good news that Jesus saves, and witness to the great blessings that come from knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And just as Joel's prophecy said, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, so it is this day, so it is today in 2015, that all who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. And God wants you to have your Pentecost today. He wants you to be immersed and baptized with the Holy Spirit today. He wants you to be totally filled and immersed and baptized with the Holy Spirit. And if you say yes to Him, if you call on His name, you shall be saved. Well, so first of all, we see that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was a fulfillment of prophecy. Secondly, 10 days after Jesus ascended, so the disciples waited. They waited patiently for 10 days, and they were all together. There was about 120 of them in this room in Jerusalem, and they had waited patiently for what the promise of the Holy Spirit was to be, and they had no idea how it was going to manifest. They had no idea how it was going to come to them. They had no idea how it was going to affect them. But they took Jesus at His word, and they were patient, and they waited in faith. And so that's a good lesson for us, is that sometimes we just have to wait in faith. We have to keep asking, and we keep believing that God has the greatest gifts for us. He has the very best of intentions for us. He has the every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights above. It tells us in James 1 that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights above. In Him there is no change, and there is no shifting shadow. And so when God has promised something to you, if you are patient, if you wait in faith and wait in expectation, it will come to you eventually. And just keep believing that God has it for you. Keep believing and keep asking, and it shall be given unto you in God's perfect time. Well, in Acts 2, open your Bible there, verse 1, Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all together in one accord in one place. Well, that gives us a good indication of what God wants for us in our worship services, in our congregational gatherings. He wants us to be in one accord, in spirit and in soul and in body. He wants us to be in one accord. He wants us to be not disinterested, not apathetic, not lethargic, not thinking about other things, but He wants us there. If our bodies are present there, He wants our minds there, He wants our hearts there, and He wants us in unity. He wants us to not be critical or bitter towards each other or unforgiving. He wants us to be in one accord, loving each and every person there and believing the best for each and every person, believing the greatest that God has for each and every person. And this is the attitude, you might say, the attitude that they were in on the day of Pentecost. They were waiting, they were believing, they were in expectation. They had love for each other and cared about each other, and they were in one accord, the scripture tells us. And then certain things started to happen that were very unusual. In the second verse, it says, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, the first thing that happened was there was a mighty rushing wind, the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and Jesus told Nicodemus in the third chapter of John that the Holy Spirit comes and goes as it wishes, and it's like the wind. It's like, you know, when we hear the wind blowing in the trees, we can't see. We can see the leaves rustle and the branches move, but we can't actually see the wind. We just see the results of it. And so it is with the Holy Spirit. It goes where it wants. It goes where it's asked to go. It goes where it's commanded to go by the Lord God Almighty and by Jesus Christ. And so the Holy Spirit is the wind, and it came into this room because they were waiting in expectation. They were believing that it was going to come. The promise of the Father was going to come. And so when this started to come, this mighty rushing wind, it filled the whole house where they were sitting. The Rhema, the wind of God, the Spirit of God filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then they started to see tongues of fire, divided tongues of fire. It wasn't actual tongues, or their hair and their clothing would have gotten burned up, and the house would eventually been burned up, but it appeared to be tongues of fire, and it settled on the head of each one of those people. Each one of those 120 people had a tongue of fire that settled on his head. I have seen pictures, beloved, of revivals in Africa where people were there seeking the Lord with all their heart, and I've seen in my own revivals people come with great expectation. They come with great expectation to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to receive a touch from God. But in this picture that I saw, taken with a digital camera, there was tongues of fire resting on the heads of each and every person out there with their hands up, their arms up. They were seeking the Lord, and a tongue of fire was settled on each one of their head. The fire from the Holy Spirit, the fire had come to them just as it did the apostles and the disciples in the second chapter of Acts. And so there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And in verse 4, here's the culmination of what was going on. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so the tongues, the message of tongues that they spoke, was an evidence that the Holy Spirit had baptized them, that they had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so I believe there's a doctrinal lesson there for us, that when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the baptism and the filling in this case were the same thing. The baptism is the complete immersion, the complete and total immersion of the Holy Spirit of God. And the filling may be given in partial measure, at certain times and in certain places and to certain people. It may be given in partial measure, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a complete and total immersion, just like the water baptism is complete and total immersion. You're completely submerged in the water. So is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the complete and total immersion of the soul and the body and the spirit of the individual in the Holy Spirit of God. And that Holy Spirit comes to reside in you and take up residence in you. It fills you up. It causes you to do things that you wouldn't do. It causes you to become a witness for Jesus Christ. It causes you to be bold and daring, and it causes you to have great faith in the things of God and in the kingdom of God. And so the baptism is the complete and total immersion of the Spirit of God in a believer's life. Well, the result of all that was many people who were Jews there on that day of Pentecost, they started to hear all this commotion going on. They heard the mighty rushing wind. They heard all these apostles and disciples start to speak in tongues. And so a crowd gathered, and then these people who were speaking in tongues, the disciples, they started to speak the message in tongues to the people that were listening. And there was people of many countries. Lists here, a list of 16 different countries, and this is the way it took place. In verse 5, it says, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Well, remember that this was one of the major feasts, one of the three major feasts of Israel. And Pentecost, many people came back to Israel. Many people came from places all over the world to celebrate the feast. That's very common, very typical. They were required to do that. And so there was people there from many nations all over the world. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together, and they were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. And then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear them in our own language in which we were born? And then it goes on to list 16 different nations or groups of people, tongues of people, who were there in attendance on that day, and they heard them all speaking in their own language. So they were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" And others were mocking, and they said, "They are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. These people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." And we know that the prophet Joel spoke the prophecy that the Spirit was going to be poured out, and it was poured out. Peter got up and explained, this is what Joel was talking about. 600, 700 years before this event occurred, this is what Joel was talking about. This is what he prophesied, that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all flesh or all mankind, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. And so right before their very eyes on that day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, right before their very eyes, this event occurred. They heard them speaking in tongues. They saw the evidence of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And so Joel's prophecy was fulfilled on that day. Well, Paul, in 1 Corinthians 14:20, he also referred to an Old Testament prophecy that predicted that men would use strange tongues and stammering lips to speak to the people. And in verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, "In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me." Well, some heard, many did not, many rejected the message of the gospel, but some heard and they were changed. They called upon the name of the Lord Jesus and they were saved. They were changed from that day on. And so it is with us today. God's will is for you to be changed. God's will is you to hear the message of the gospel. God's will is for you to know that Jesus Christ loves you, that he came and he shed his blood for you, and that God is going to witness to you somehow, some way. If not through this radio broadcast, he will witness to you in some other way. He'll find some person to witness to you. He'll find some way to reveal himself to you and to show himself real to you. And so if you will not mock God, just as they did in that day, many of them mocked God because they said, well, those people have just been drinking. Even though it was early in the morning, they said, well, those people have just been drinking. They can't be trusted. They have no credibility. There's something crazy going on with them, and so we'll just pass it all off as a bunch of drunken fools. They're just spouting gibberish. And so they ignored what God was trying to reveal to them, just as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:20, "And yet for all that, many will not hear me." That is the call for you today. And for those of you who have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, have been baptized with the Holy Spirit, you know how powerful it is. You know how it just releases you to pursue kingdom ventures. It releases you to speak the word with boldness, to preach the word. It releases you to be a witness for Jesus Christ. And when you first received that baptism of the Holy Spirit, I would venture to say you became very giddy. You became silly. Some of you even become silly to this day when we're in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And that was the situation, that was the case on that day, that they were acting strange, they were acting silly. And so the people that were watching them, who had a critical eye and did not want to participate, they passed it all off as just a bunch of drunkards having a good time. Well, the Lord wants you to have a good time, but brothers and sisters, he wants you to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He wants you to have a good time, but he wants you to be a witness for the kingdom of God. In Judea, maybe it's just your local neighborhood. Maybe it's in your Bible study group. Maybe it's in your church. Maybe it's in your family or your job site. God wants you to be a witness for the kingdom of God. And not only there, but then go to Judea, on down the street, on down to the next town, on down to the next place, to Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. And brother and sister, when you get to Congo, you'll know you're in a remote part of the earth. When I got there after 10,000 or 12,000 miles of travel, I felt like I was in a remote part of the earth. But if they had come to Norton, Kansas, I'm sure that they would feel the very same way about coming here. But it is to the glory of God. It is for His glory. I praise the Lord for my trips to the Congo and to remote places in Africa. I praise the Lord for being able to be a witness for Him right here in this place through the radio broadcast. And I praise the Lord for all the open doors that He's given me to preach the gospel, to speak the word, and that is His desire for you as well. It's not just for a few people. It's not just for a few anointed preachers. It is for every single person to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and to be fully immersed by the Holy Spirit so He comes in resonance in you and becomes your counselor, becomes your paraclete, your comforter, your source of strength. And if you will accept Jesus Christ, if you will call upon the name of the Lord today, if you will call upon Him, repent of your sins, turn from your wicked ways, ask the Lord to come in and fill you up with the Holy Spirit, baptize you with His Spirit, He will be faithful and true to do that. All those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, next week we're going to take a look at what happened when Peter stood up to preach the first gospel message, the first gospel sermon. 3,000 people came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior that day. Well, I hope you tune in next week. And God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.